Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to our program Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today's date is the 8th of Rabiul Akhir, 1444, corresponding to their Gregorian calendar, the 3rd of November, 2022. We have our Honorable Mufti Saab here. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa zaid khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Our topic today is on iddat. Muftisa, where is it proven in Quran and Hadith about iddat and what is iddat?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Islam, we consider marriage to be sacrosanct, and it's not like buying a car or a computer or a cell phone. So therefore, there are specific laws there. So if the husband passes away, then we have special laws for the lady, the widow. Likewise, if divorce takes place, then also there are special laws related to that issue as well for the lady. So iddat is meaning literally that is counting. So who will do the counting here in this instance is the wife. So remember, there's no iddat upon men. The iddat is upon the women. And why? So the main reason is three, that it will be to protect and preserve the sacrosanct of marriage. For example, if I buy a car, cell phone, computer, that same day I can just go and sell it to somebody else or trade it in. You can't do that in Islam, obviously, with nikah and marriage and so forth. Secondly, to maintain the sacredness of this bond of nikah, that is such a sacred bond in this world, ordinary people like us perform the nikah. In the year after, chapter 44, verse 54, Surah 44, verse 54, Allah Ta'ala says, وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ, that we will perform the nikah with the beautiful damsels and women of Jannah. So that shows us the sanctity of marriage. Second one, maybe the wife is pregnant, so we must determine that, so that there is no ikhtilatul ansab, there must be no adulteration regarding the lineage of the children and people and so forth. And third one, it is in the interest of the lady after death, you know, there's trauma, there is sadness, grief. Similarly, after divorce, there is sadness, nobody's really happy. So she should not just make a decision on the rebound and then she'll regret again. So when does it that comes, it gives her time that whatever decision she's going to make for the future, she'll have time to think about it, contemplate, reflect over it. So every law in Islam, we must remember, has great wisdom. There's different thing that remember that we ourselves, that we don't understand the wisdom because of our puny little brains. It that is mentioned in various verses in the Quran, inshallah, as we discuss it, we will give you all the references as the questions go along, inshallah.
Mufti Saab, what is the iddah of a lady who is divorced?
Regarding a lady who is divorced, so we must understand that divorce can be one talaq or can be two divorces or three. Three is maximum. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala addresses this issue in the Noble Quran. وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوا, that once the lady is divorced, then the waiting period for her, for that lady, will be three quru. Chapter number 2 and verse number 228. Chapter 2, verse 228. Now here we discuss another issue, and that is اِخْتِلَافُ الْأَئِمَّةِ, that sometimes on certain issues you will get difference of opinion among the jurists and scholars of Islam. But it's not like today we have differences. Today our differences, 80-90% is because of our worm's fancies and desires. Here the differences are based on evidence, Quranic verses, or based on ahadith mubarakah, the saying, teaching, preaching of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or it is based on the aqwal and fatawa of sahaba, the sayings and the verdict of the beloved students, companions of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or because at that place there are great fuqaha and jurists, so they have said so among the sahaba, tabi'in and so forth. So these will be what you call the asbabul ikhtilaf, the differences and the causes for different opinion. Now this is a perfect example. Allah Ta'ala says, Surah chapter 2, verse 228, Wal mutallaqatu, those ladies who have been divorced, 1, 2, or 3 talaq or divorce, yatarabbasna bi anfusihinna, she must wait with herself. How long must she wait? Thalathata quru, 3 quru. So when you study the Arabic language, you have certain words. Therefore, the Arabic language is called lughatul dwad. If you know Arabic and literature, they call Arabic lughatul dwad. So what it means, lughatul dwad, that you will see that it is certain words are min al-azdad. One word but two opposite meanings. Mawla. Mawla can mean master, and mawla can mean slave, or a slave who is liberated, emancipated. Jaza, jazakallah. Jazakallah can mean may Allah reward you, may Allah ta'ala punish you. So therefore we have to qualify it, jazakallahu khaira. So similarly here also quru. So when the Hanafi scholars came and the Maliki scholars came, they say quru here means menses. So what it means, that you issue the talaq, as we told you before, fi tuhurin, in the period of cleanliness, and you didn't fulfill your conjugal relationship with her. So immediately the iddat will start. But how will it start and how will it end and expire? Thalathata quru. So one menses will come, and then period of cleanliness. Then another menses will come, another period of cleanliness. Third menses will come. When the third menses ends, so then only remember, you will say that is the case, is that now the iddat is finished. If you look at the Hanafis and you look at the Maliki school on this issue, then their dalil and evidence is strong. Because in those days when they had slaves, so the slaves and that everything works off and so forth. So iddatul amati haydatan. So everybody agrees. If it's a female slave and her husband divorced her, so remember then the idda will be 2 menses. So if the menses is 2, the iddat is 2 menses, so then the natural law will be that for the free lady it will be 3 menses, as mentioned in the Quran. So the difference of opinion here among the fuqaha is this. So the Hanafis and the Hanbalis, they say it is 3 menses. The Hanafis and the Hanbalis say 3 menses. And the Malikis and the Shafi'is, they say 3 periods of cleanliness. So when we ask the Hanafis and Hanbalis, what is your dalil? So first evidence, they'll tell you the word quru. Quru has the 2 opposite meanings, min al-azdad, as I explained to you. And the second dalil that the Hanafis and the Hanbalis say will be, remember, that iddatul amati haydatan. So that the idda of a lady who is a slave in those days, so if she is divorced, so then everybody agrees that it is 2 menses. So therefore, the Hanafis, Hanbalis, the verdict here is strong, we should understand. Then when we come to the Shafi'is and the Malikis and them, they say no. That thalathata quru means 3 periods of cleanliness. So now the issue that comes about is this. Okay, so when are you going to give talaq? So they say you must give talaq fi bidayati tuhur. That when the menses is finished and now her tuhur, her cleanliness has started, so now you give the talaq, right? So when that tuhur, that cleanliness comes, so is 1. And then the menses come, that's 1. Then the second tuhur, period of cleanliness comes, that's 2. And then again, when it is the period of menses, then the third period of cleanliness comes. When the third period of cleanliness finishes, then only you will say the iddat is expired, according to the Malikis and Shafis. So again, just to summarize it, remember the iddat for a lady who is receiving her menses and she's divorced, whether 1, 2, or 3. So the Hanafis and the Hanbalis are one side, and on the other side are the Malikis and the Shafi'i scholars.
Mufti Sahib, what happens in the case where a man divorced his wife but he did not consummate his marriage?
Remember, this also is mentioned and enshrined in the noble Quran. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha nakahtumul mu'minat, that O you who believe, that when you marry the lady, so the true Muslim lady and so forth, thumma tallaqtumuhunna, and thereafter there was an argument that ensued and so forth and so on, and then what happened? You gave a talaq, min qabli an tamassuhunna, before, remember, touching her. The word tamassuhunna is mentioning touching her. فَمَا لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ مِنْ عِدَّةٍ تَعْتَدُّونَهَا. Then remember, there is no iddat for her. This is enshrined in Surah Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 49. Chapter 33, verse 49. So what is the meaning of this? Let's use it as a case study, as an example. ABC got married before Zohar, after Zohar, Saturday, Sunday, Friday after Jummah, or whatever like that. And then the husband and wife, had in full view of the people, had an argument, and he swore her and whatever and divorced her. So in a case like that, now there is no iddat upon her. Why is there no iddat with her? Because he didn't consummate the marriage with her. Second one, this is very important, and this is a mistake people make. Or if he didn't consummate the marriage with her, that he was not in khalwa with her, he didn't go into privacy, isolation with her. So therefore, we must remember that in that case, there will be no iddat. So turn it the other way around. Husband, wife, they was khalwa. They spend the night together, or they spend few hours together, or they spend half an hour, 20 minutes together, alone, complete privacy, isolation, for example, and then there were argument and he divorced her, then they will be iddat. Why they will be iddat? Because they were in khalwa. So remember, this is called khalwa sahiha, that there was no other prohibition or something or so forth. So people will say, but how can she spend time with this person, and now you say she can marry another person the same day? So yes, in the first case scenario, it is permissible, because there was no khalwa, no privacy, isolation. There was no consummating, nothing. They didn't spend time together, nothing. So, you know, in bed, for example. So that is what is meant here. And in the second scenarios, where the marriage has been consummated, or there is khalwa, privacy, and so forth, they went into isolation 1 hour, 1, 2, 3 hours, whatever. So in cases like that, remember then that there was nothing, no khalwa, no consummating, nothing. So then there will be no idda. The same day she can marry somebody else if she wishes. That's her prerogative, her desire, her wish.
Mufti Sahib, what happens in the case if a woman is pregnant and her husband divorces her?
Remember that all this is enshrined in the noble Quran, Surah 65, which is entitled Surah Talaq, verse 4. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, Wa ulatul ahmali ajaluhunna ayyada'na hamlahun, that remember that the lady who is pregnant and her husband divorced her, and now when she delivers, she gave birth to the baby, whether it's after 1 month or whether it's after 6 months or 8 months, irrespective, so that will be her iddat now. So remember, once a lady is pregnant, she's hamila, so once you gave her talaq and divorce, 1 talaq or 2 talaq or 3 talaq or death, so on that is issued, on that issue there is ijma, there is consensus. Wad'ul hamal, the delivery of the baby, meaning when she gives birth to the baby, then that will signal the end of her iddat. Whether it's a baby that's living or stillborn, all that, meaning now the iddat is finished. So we should be clear on that issue as well. And this is across the board, and that is because Quran says so. Surah 65, verse number 4. So she has reached her ending period, and now. So, and irrespective of the period, sometime the iddat can be one day, or can be one week, or one month. For example, you gave talaq today, and next day, or next week, or next month, she gave talaq, she gave birth to the baby. So once she gave birth, so finish her iddat, finish. Or maybe Allah forbid the husband issued the talaq, that while she was pregnant, which is not good, but she did so. So now, and for her to give birth is 6 months or 9, 7 months or 8 months or whatever. So all that time she will be in iddah. And when she gives birth, then we will say she's now, the iddah period has expired and she's out of iddah.
Mufti Sahib, what happens if a lady has an irregular habit for menstruation? Does this affect the duration of the iddah?
Remember that we discussed already that when a person, the husband, issued the talaq. And remember, irrespective whether it's one talaq or two talaq or three talaq or whatever, iddat will be compulsory, right? That 1-2 situation which I told you. So that are the exception to the rule. We're speaking about the rule. So the iddat is compulsory. And we told you that according to Hanafis and Hanbalis, it is 3 menses. And we told you according to Shafi'is and according to the Malikis, it is 3 periods of cleanliness. Now sometime when the woman gives birth, now she's breastfeeding, all that. So sometime it happens, her habit goes irregular. Or you look at today's modern society, so many women take this tablets, you know, or medication, or they insert something, the loop and whatever and what. So all this Islamically is not permissible, this contraceptives and all that. Yes, as a rule, remember, is not permissible. Exception to the rule, that is different. We must remember, the exception proves the rule. It doesn't break the rule. So you must always remember that as well. So as a rule, is not permissible. So all these funny tablets and loop, and Allah knows, the women know all these things better than us. So because it's to do with them directly, right? So now, the lady's normal habit is, she will get her menses, a period, a haiz, remember once a month, after 20 days, 18 days, 25 days, whatever. And remember now, when you go to menses, you should know this here, that Hanafis will say minimum is 3 days, and maximum is 10 days. And when you go to the Shafis and them, they say minimum is 1 day, and maximum is 15 days, 1-5, okay? So all that cognizance must be taken of that as well. Then we go to the next issue, that the normal habit of a normal lady will be 5, 6, 7, 8 days, like that. But now this lady, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months have passed, nothing is happening. And she's not in menopause, she's not 60 years old and 65 years old, she's 20, 25, 30 years old. So what will happen in a case like that? So the fatwa is this, that she will remain in iddat even for 1 year. So her menses are what you say, erratic. So she gets her menses maybe after 2 months, after 3 months, 4 months, like that. So in a case like that, the mutakhirin and the ulama and fatwa the ulama gave is maximum 1 year. So 1 year, then we will say her iddat is finished in that case there. Because now we are 100% sure the iddat is finished. So therefore we made that period of 1 year. But this is only for those ladies who are dhawatul hiyas, they receive their menses and so forth. And remember what else, that besides getting their menses, that it is no adat, there's no real fixed habit as such. It is sometime 1-2 months, sometime 2-3 months, sometime 3-4 months, like that. So the cut-off date will be 1 year. So that is what we should understand. Then you'll say the iddat has expired.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, what is the iddah of a woman whose husband has passed away?
Remember, when a husband has passed away, then the iddat is enshrined and mentioned in the noble Quran. And what is the iddat? Quran Kareem says, Arba'at ashurin wa ashara. So what is the meaning of that? So look at the Quran Sharif, and then you will get your answer there. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us everything. You will find the principles in the Noble Quran and the detailed explanation in the teaching of Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala taught us, وَالَّذِينَ يُتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ, those of you who your husbands have passed on, وَيَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا, and now he passed away, he left one wife, or two wives, or three wives, or four wives, it can happen, and now he passed away. So يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ, so these wives, whether it's one, two, three, four, all of them, iddat is compulsory, whether they are young, whether they are old, so all that. Arba'ata ashhurin wa ashra, and it is 4 months and 10 days. So this is enshrined and mentioned in the Noble Quran, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse number 234. Here I want to mention 4 or 5 different issues. First one, very important. When the husband passes away, so then the masla of dukhul and adamud dukhul don't work. You will not ask whether the marriage was consummated or not consummated. Husband got married, Zuhr time, and then after Maghrib, after Isha, he saw his wife. And when she was now, you know, undressing or whatever, he saw her beauty and glory, and he got such a shock and heart attack, so beautiful, and he passed away. Or maybe not so beautiful, disappointed, and he passed away. So he didn't consummate, still iddat is compulsory. Why? Because remember that when the husband passes away, it's a sad occasion. And remember, we don't know what happened there and not. So in both cases, whether the marriage was consummated or the marriage was not consummated, iddat is compulsory upon the widow. We should know that first masla. Right. Second masla, remember that the masla is the issue. That when we say that arba'at ashurin wa ashra, what does it mean? So simple, it means 130 days, 130 days from time of death. Not from the time of burial or from the time you reach your home, your husband passed away while you were on a journey and so forth and so on. So remember that from the time of death, you will start counting 130 days. That is it. Then another issue that's very common. Now people, they ask the ladies, okay, I'm in iddat. I know my iddat is 130 days. Now which calendar must I count? Islamic calendar or Gregorian calendar? It's not going to make a difference. So remember that the answer will still be the same. So from time of death, you count 130 days. So whether it's your Islamic calendar or whether Gregorian calendar, the consequent result of it will be still be the same. Yes. Now, there is one interesting masla, and understand it properly. Say, for example, I just give a month, right? Say, for example, on the beginning of the Islamic lunar month, so you'll know the night precedes the day. So, let's just say first Ramadan, or first Shaaban, or whatever it is. So, that person, the husband, passed away. Now, in that case there, you will count Ashhur, and you'll count Ashura. So let's say Ramadan, first Ramadan, the husband passed away. So how we'll count now? We will say Ramadan, irrespective whether the month is 29 or 30. Then we will say Shawwal. Then we will say Zulqa'dah. Then we will say Zulhijjah. And then 10th Muharram, Ashura day, when that day is finished. So remember, the night of the 11th starts. So now your iddat is finished. So you understood that? That is when the husband, obviously Muslim husband, he passed away on the Hurratu Shaharin. Hurratu Shaharin means the beginning of the Islamic lunar month. Then you take the months into consideration, irrespective whether it's 29 days or 30 days. Then you count 4 Islamic months. So whether he passed away first Rajab or first Shaaban or first Ramadan or first Shawwal, so you count 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and full 10 days. When that is finished, then the wife will go out, the widow will go out and come out of iddat. Now her iddat has expired.
Mufti Saab, what happens to a lady's iddah if the couple goes for Hajj and the husband passes away while on journey?
Yes, that's a very, very good question. You must remember this. So we need to break it up again into 3 different categories. Say for example nowadays, the husband and the wife, remember, went for Umrah. And now they performed their Umrah already, and they didn't go to Medina as yet. So, and now husband passes away, so we will say that she must come back immediately. So as soon as possible, she must come back and try to come back immediately. Even if she misses Medina, that you must remember is not compulsory in Hajj or Umrah, so we must take that. Let's say she's in Medina, and now they must still go for Umrah, and she passed away, and the husband passed away. So we will say from there, go to Makkah, make your Umrah, everything, and then most probably you'll be coming out of Jeddah, so there's no big problem with that, and immediately you try and come home. That is, if we take the Umrah example. Second example, that now this husband, wife, they go on to perform a Nafil Hajj, voluntary Hajj. So here also very similar, we will say, because you perform your Hajjatul Islam, your first Hajj, so in a case like that, you must try and come back immediately back to your home. So now when we say come back immediately, meaning we must make arrangement for a mahram or something like that. Her father or brother or son or somebody must try and go and bring the lady back like that. So that is two, right? The third one is this. Now this is very important. Husband and wife are there, and it happened in our groups and that it happened this type of things. So they went, and it's first time they went. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala, Kudrat Ka Karishma. They went first time, and there in Medina Munawwara, the husband passed away, and before Hajj. Or they came there to Makkah or Aziziya. Aziziya is a suburb of Makkah. So remember what happens is this, that he passed away there. Now this lady widow is there. And which Hajj is this? This is first Hajj. So in a case like that, the fatwa will be, she must continue with the journey. Why? Because nowadays it's not easy. You got quota system, you got visa, then there's mahram stories and a lot of difficulty. So all these things here, so the fatwa is this, that because now she's now Hajj time and it is a Hajjatul Islam, a first Hajj, so therefore she must continue with that, and in a way like that, then she can, you must remember, complete the Hajj and then she'll come home. But remember, the counting of the days of her iddat, the 130 days, that will start from the time of death, not from the time she reaches home. So all that we must take cognizance of.
Alhamdulillah, esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we come back to this discussion on Iddah. Mufti Sahib, if a woman is spending her Iddah in a particular home and that home becomes dangerous, can she be transferred to another place?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What we must remember is this, that the lady should spend the iddah there in the matrimonial home. Say the husband passed away, and his husband and wife there, and they're living in a farm, or they're living in some place that is a little bit far, like remote area. And we all know that nowadays crime and all that is rife and rampant. So the law will be this, she should make her iddah in the matrimonial home. But if there is real danger, Allah forbid, aliyazu billah, that somebody can go there, murder her, kill her, rape her, and all this, and it's not just something we are assuming or just dreaming about, it's a reality that it is there with no incidents and all this type of thing, like South Africa nowadays. So in a case like that, again, exception to the rule will be, it will be permissible. But let's say she is in a township area, like what we call Indian township previously, or colored township, or African white township, whatever. Now she and her husband are living there. And now, you must remember, 2-3 streets away, 2-3 blocks away, in the same area, her son and them are living there. Now she says, I'm feeling frightened, I want to go stay there by my daughter's place, or I want to go stay there by my son's place, and that. Then is it permissible? No, not permissible. So why is not permissible in that? It's so easy. The son and them can move in with the mother, or the children, the grandchildren can spend time there with the mother, night time and so forth. Or the daughter who's staying there, she can move in with the mother. It's not the end of the world, it's just for 4 months and 10 days. So, I mean, we can adjust our lives, or the grandchildren can play a role and so forth. So again, yeah, we should not be looking at loopholes. We should look at the real darura. And if there is the real need, therefore the fuqaha, the jurors, al-imam al-shafi'i, therefore he said all these words. And if you open Imam Tirmidhi, Sunan and Jami, you will find it in Kitab al-Janayis. He said, al-fuqaha wa a'lamu bima'ani al-hadith. The jurors, they have a much, much more deeper understanding of the real meaning and connotation of the hadith. You see, that is why faqih is a big thing. لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ May Quran says, May يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِي خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ Hadith in Bukhari Sharif on the authority of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, that and whoever Allah Ta'ala decrees goodness for you, He gives you profound, deep understanding of deen. So in a case like that, she must stay there and they can come there. That is the son, the daughter, and they stay with her and so forth. Son-in-law also, because he's a mahram for her. So there's no problem with that. وَأُمَّهَاتُ نِسَائِكُمْ Surah 4 verse 23. So there won't be the laws of hijab and niqab and all that in that case there. So we must remember, the children can come. So the law is they must stay there. So when you are living nearby, you can't use that as a uzar, as a valid excuse, and break your iddat and go there and so forth. See, I give you one example. This is Allah just put in my head now. My brother passed away, right? And prior to that, his son-in-law passed away. And now his daughter, my niece, is in iddat. And she's in iddat 4 months and 5 days, or 4 months and 6 days, something like that, you understand? But it was over 4 months. So meaning it was few days, 5, 6, 7 days maximum, was left for iddat to finish. Allah Jalla Wala in His infinite grace and mercy made it such, it was a Saturday. I was there in Heidelberg, I spent 2 hours with him. I remember 11 o'clock to 1. Then I told him, now, see, Azan is going, I'm going. So he told me that he'll go with his son, that Maulana Mawdidwan, my nephew, they'll read Zohar and then they will go to the hospital. And lo and behold, when they're just about to reach the hospital, he passes away. All right. So now that his wife has to go into iddat. So that is a straightforward issue. So she goes into iddat. But now what happened about his daughter? It's his daughter and her husband passed away, and it's 4 months and 5 days, 4 months and 6 days and that. So now she's crying that, I say, don't worry, I promise you, you will see your father before the janaza namaz. So he passed away, yeah, Donald Gordon Hospital and what have you. So you must remember, so the body we took to the green site, we did the ghusl, everything there, and from there, remember, we went to Binoni, you see. So, it was Maghrib time. So I told her, see, we're going to read Maghrib Salat, everything. You kiss your father's forehead, everything. Let the children, also the grandchildren now, see and all that. And then you read your namaz, read your yasin, whatever. And then after namaz, I'll pick up from here again and we'll go to Heidelberg. So her iddat also got saved, you see. And now she finished it 1 week or 5 days or whatever was left. And then we went to Heidelberg and then we made janaza and burial and all. So what I'm saying, we must look for a way that we can preserve the Sharia. Not look for a way to go and break the Sharia. So some Maulanas came to me and the day they in Binoni. They told me, you know, this is very ajeeb, we learned something. If it was we should just tell her, yeah, break it now, we can't help it. You know, I mean, like, you know, honest talk, like. So because people are very emotional, you know, and she was also like thinking. I said, no, you're not going to break your iddat and you'll see your father also. So you follow what I'm saying now? So that is what we must always try and do. Sharia, we have to abide by it. But when we have the way and that the intention, then Allah also makes it easy. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا So that, don't look for loopholes and all this stuff.
Mufti Sahib, what is the mourning period?
Ihdad means mourning period. So ihdad means that now the husband passed away. So now she, the wife, she will be in that iddat for 130 days. We told you, whether they consummated the marriage or they didn't consummate the marriage and so forth. So remember that that is irrespective, still iddat is compulsory. It's a sad occasion. So when you are in your iddat, you can't be wearing jewelry. that you the lady, you can't be wearing new clothes, you can't be applying henna and mehndi, you can't be loitering and loafing around here and there and going everywhere. You have to sit quietly in your house. You must remember that. Now the question comes that, okay, if she must sit in the house, then what about the income? So your husband passed away, so there will be inheritance, so you use that. But sometimes to wind up the estate take 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, people sometimes take 20 years also. So obviously that's wrong. But now practicality we have to look at. So the sons are there, the daughters are there, so they can help their mother and so forth. It's no big deal. It is responsibilities on them. And remember that this business that our ladies got today, they just want to go and work and all that. Say, no, I'm working. All that is haram. Take worst case scenario. That the husband passed away, that wife is there, that widow now, and remember there's no income. She's in dire straits. So she doesn't have children, or they have children, but they're also poor. They're just barely surviving hand to mouth, or they can't serve. How are they going to look after their mother? So we, the Muslim community, must rally around and give her the zakat. For what we're giving zakat? So zakat you give her, sadqah you give her, lillah you give her, and so forth, so on, so she don't have to break the law of Sharia. See, everywhere you will find. But the problem in this day and this age, because our Bilal things like Bali, our Maryam things like Mary, so you say, no, I'll just stay at home for 3 days or 1 week, and then I'm going back to work. You see? So she herself doesn't want to sit in it. That. And remember, they look for all these loopholes and all these shortcuts. All that is haram and not permissible.
With this up in a case where a woman really needs to go out and work, can she do this?
Remember, as I just mentioned now, that how can she go when we have the means and this type of things there? So you must remember that either she from inheritance, either her father and them are there, either her sons are there, either her brothers are there, either her uncles are there. And if you take worst case scenario, there's nobody there, then the Muslim Ummah is there. We must help and assist her. So all this, I don't agree with this, that we must encourage the woman to go and work and so forth and so on, because we have a practical alternate. So therefore, we must use that.
Mufti Saab, when you say that a person must mourn, are there any limitations to this?
Remember, the mourning period is 3 days in Islam. Nobody is allowed to be mourning more than 3 days. Absolutely haram, that is. The only one exception will be the lady, the widow, Arba'at Ashurin wa Ashra. Her mourning period is 130 days, and I gave you the rationale and the reason to maintain the sanctity of marriage. Look at Quran. Wa akhadna minkum mithaqan ghaliza. She became halal for you. You became halal for her. Why? There was a solemn pledge, a solemn covenant taken. And that is that what had happened. That you must remember that we took Allah Ta'ala's name. A khutbah sermon was read. There were two male witnesses and all that. Then the nikah, the marriage ceremony took place, all that. When you go and buy, you go and sell a computer, cell phone, car. You don't do all this. Since when do you have to give khutbah and all that before buying a car or computer? Where you need two witnesses in that? It's not compulsory. So remember that. So yeah, all this shows that this marriage is a sacred bond. So therefore, because it's a sacred bond, so we have all these laws in place as well.
Muftis, our people say when a person, when the husband passes away or the wife passes away, the marriage breaks. So what happens in this case? What are the laws with regards to this?
Remember that our people, they confuse everything. And sad to say, most ulama also get confused because they normally used to one school only. So the masla is this. You must remember that when the husband passed away, let's say the wife passed away, to make it easier. Then the wife passed away. Can the husband look at his wife's face after her death? Ijma'an, he can look at her. Can the husband carry the janazah? 100% ijma'an mean all the scholars agree, this consensus. Can he go into the grave and bury her? 100%. Can he be the imam? So 100% he can be the imam. So now the one point of difference of opinion is this. Can he, the husband, touch his wife after the wife has passed on. That is one difference of opinion. So you got both sides dalil. This is fiqh. So when we ask the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, can the husband touch his wife, deceased wife? So now she passed away. Skin to skin, can he touch her? They say yes. So when we go ask the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, what is your dalil? What is your evidence proof? They say Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, her ghusl was done by who? By Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anha. And if you see hadiths in Mishkat and in Musnad Ahmad, Nabi alayhi salatu salam told Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha that if you walau mutti qabli, you pass away before me, then I'll do this from you. So it shows that even in the light of that, that to touch you will be permissible and so forth. So that is their dalil. But when you look at the Hanafi's dalil, that also is very strong. That, remember, the Quran states, Surah 4, verse 23. Well, that you can't marry, you must remember, al-ukhtain. You can't have two sisters one time in your marriage. So Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, says, when your wife passed on, so for you, the husband, you can look at her, you can carry the janazah, bury her, all that, you can be the imam, all. But you can't touch her skin to skin, because once she passed away, for you, the husband now, you know, the former previous husband. So for you to marry her sister is permissible. So I mean, that's also a very good dalil, you know. وَأَن تَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ. You can't do that. So therefore, Imam Abu Hanifa says, to touch the wife skin to skin is not permissible. You see? So that is fiqh now. Now turn the whole thing the other way around. And what is that? You must remember that when the husband passes away, can the wife touch? Ijma, and that ijma, and the husband, the wife can touch. If you take, say now, Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, who gave him ghusl? Asma binti Umais, that you must remember, the wife she gave. So that all four schools agree. The wife can touch the husband. Why she can touch the husband? Because she's in iddat. So she can't marry anybody else or anything like that. And if a lady in iddat, let me just explain that also. If a lady in iddat, iddatul talaq or iddatul wafat, she gets married to somebody during the iddat, somebody else. So nikahul mu'taddati batilun. The nikah of a lady in iddat is null and void. So you must remember that. Then after the iddat is expired, all that, they have to perform a new nikah.
Mufti Sahib, what about a proposal? Can a woman accept a proposal while she's in iddah?
Remember, the Quran addresses that issue there. That Quran says, you must remember that you make ishara. Not you say directly and so forth. You tell that lady that, you know what, don't worry, that inshallah Allah will make means for you and all like that, and you will remarry. So words like that you can use. But you can't tell her while she is in iddat that I will get married to you. So that is not permissible. So we must remember, Almighty Allah has said, وَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي مَا أَرَّدْتُمْ تَعْرِيزٍ you make. So that ta'ariz means this. So remember that you make ishara towards her. You just give her certain subtle suggestions. So fi bihi min khitbatin nisa. So Almighty Allah has mentioned this in Surah 2 and verse number 235. So we must remember. But you can't tell her straight, wala ta'azimu uqdatan nikah. You can't promise her you're going to marry her and all that, hatta yablugha al-kitabu ajala, till the iddat is finished. So therefore, we must be very... Why? It's one of the reasons I gave you, that you cannot let the woman make a proper decision, final decision, that while she is, you must remember, in iddat, because you're going to catch her on the rebound. So you must remember that.
Alhamdulillah, this brings us to the end of our program. Mufti Sahib, we appreciate your time. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Sirius FM, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.